This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, the University of Arkansas Library's Special Collections Department hosted a forum dedicated to the life of Daisy Bates, African-American-owned newspapers, and civil rights in Arkansas. Janice Kearney, author of the book Daisy, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, talked about Bates and her newspaper, Arkansas State Press. Later, she was joined by two journalists, Gerald Jordan and Roy Reed, to discuss coverage of civil rights. Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums attended the forum and has this report.
Janice Kearney calls Daisy Gadsden Bates a mentor and a role model. Janice Kearney received her journalism degree from the University of Arkansas and eventually would become the managing editor for the paper launched by Daisy Bates and her husband, L.C. Bates. Daisy first became known to a national audience during the events leading up to the integration of Little Rock Central High School in the mid to late 1950s. Last week at the forum at the University of Arkansas's library, Janice Kearney told the audience Daisy Bates was also the only woman to speak at the March on Washington in August 1963.
Yet her role on that hot August day to acknowledge the women and the struggle was a last-minute thought. This woman, who had been recognized as a great addition to the NAACP board for her tireless efforts to lead the Arkansas Civil Rights March for Equality, had been selected Woman of the Year in 1957, had received, along with the Little Rock Nine, the incomparable Spingarn Award in 1959 for hers and the Little Rock Nine's valor in the face of unheard-of challenges. Daisy Lee Gadsden Bates, a woman of many words, was relegated to speaking only 142 words that day. But those words would bring the audience to their feet as she spoke to the work and the struggle of women and children throughout the country. No better choice could have been made to speak those words. 1957 in Arkansas had been a year of hardships, of struggle for Daisy Gadsden Bates. It had tested her commitment, her courage, her resilience, but it had also prepared her for that sweltering hot day in 1963. Daisy, who had stood up to the harsh challengers of the Brown decision and the hate-filled threats she and her husband had endured day in and day out, the crosses burned in their yards, the continued defacing of their home, the ultimate loss of their beloved and prominent Arkansas State Press newspaper, she would stand up also to those blacks who told her that she was maybe asking for too much, that it would be okay to wait for integration. Most valiantly and with a strong voice, she would stand up to Governor Orville Faubus.
Following Janice Kearney's talk about Daisy Bates, she was joined by Gerald Jordan and Roy Reed to talk about civil rights and civil rights coverage by the press. Both men are journalists with deep Arkansas connections. Jordan, a professor in the University of Arkansas's journalism department, is teaching a class about the history of the black press.
So much material got lost because of how little or lowly regarded African-American newspapers were from their founding, Freedom's Journal in 1827. Through the Civil War era, through the Reconstruction era, so much of that is just plain lost. And I believe Dr. Robinson will bear me out on this, that some of it is being found in attics and in garages and storerooms, and people are finding these marvelous troves of material that so many scholars thought were lost forever. So we are getting smarter about collecting that material, and as scholars get into it and publish research on that, we find so many repeat cycles in the politics of the United States. Laws that were passed to repeal, in effect, the good things that were done in Reconstruction. You think, well, that was so retro, so It was such a failed policy, there's no way that people would try that again. Well, guess what? There are people who think we can still make another run at repealing people's voting rights, and let's see how far we get this time. So I think our students are learning vital lessons from a course like History of the Black Press.
Roy Reed saw many of the civil rights developments of the 1950s and 60s firsthand. After 9 years as a reporter for the Arkansas Gazette, he was hired by the New York Times in 1965 to cover civil rights. Later, he would write the definitive biography of Orville Faubus, a major figure in the battle over the integration of Central High. During last week's forum on the University of Arkansas campus, Roy Reed spoke about the relationship between the Bates and Governor Faubus.
They were the public enemies, and everybody knew it. They were the two faces of the integration crisis. Little known to anybody except a handful of people in state government, L.C. Bates was a quiet political advisor to Governor Faubus. I'm not sure who made the first move. I suspect it was the governor reaching out to L.C. Bates and saying, please recommend some black people who would be good for this or that position in state government. And by the time it was over, and I think this covered a period of 4 or 5 years that lasted until 1969 when Faubus left office, the relationship, this almost invisible relationship between these two men resulted in about 100 positions opened up to black people in state government that probably would not have been opened up to if it hadn't been for this quiet, I won't call it friendship. Now Orville, in his sly way, when I interviewed him about this in the late 80s or early 90s, he said something like, L.C. and I had always been friends. And he said it with such a grin, he wanted me to know that I knew and he knew that this was a lie. They weren't friends. At best, they were joined in a practical matter of politics. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
Janice Kearney says she titled her biography, Daisy, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, because Daisy Bates felt immense pressure from various sides during Arkansas's high-profile struggle with civil rights in the 1950s.
Not only during the 1957 era, from both blacks and whites, mm-hmm. from women who didn't feel like she should be out there, but she had it from childhood. Her life seemed to have always pitted her, you know, right in the middle of things, and she had to fight her way. Life was a challenge for her. So I think it is kind of a celebration that she was able to do as well as she did and become the leader that she became in spite of the things that pulled against her throughout her whole history. So that's kind of what I was thinking of when I came up with Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Does that answer? Okay.
And one of the things that we're learning in History of the Black Press is there's never been a monolithic black view, that there's always been differences, that even the two founders of Freedom's Journal split on the question of the American Colonization Society, the Back to Africa movement. Mm-hmm. That one said, no, we were born in America. I am not leaving here. This is my country. And of course, later in the Reconstruction era, mm-hmm. there were some publishers, editors, who said, you know, y'all are pushing stuff too fast. You're making it hard on us. So there's always been that split. Now, of course, I was aware through your book and others that Mrs. Bates caught plenty of flack.
She did.
Plenty of flack.
Could you talk a little bit about the Southern Mediator Journal in Little Rock, the rival paper to the state press? Because that was a good example of this division we're talking about.
Yeah, and I don't know much about the Southern Mediator. That was before I got there. It was no longer in operation when I got to Little Rock and started working for Daisy Bates.
Sure.
But I do understand that there was a challenge. It was a challenge to have two black newspapers, for one thing. And the Southern Mediator, I understand, was not as progressive, not as as...
as a church paper,
not
wasn't
as, it? Yeah, yeah. They didn't challenge the status quo to the extent that Arkansas State Press did. So there was a little, you know, struggle between those two. And Daisy and Elsie really, they grew the Arkansas State Press way beyond anything that the Southern Mediator could ever.
Well, but at one point, Mr. Jones, I think his name was, who owned the Mediator, he began to collect advertising from white business owners that had gone to the Bates in their newspaper before. And that led to the financial difficulties that they had with the State Press. Mm-hmm. And he was getting, I don't remember how his paper ended. I am aware that by the time you came along, it was gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there were threats by advertisers, too, that...
It was what?
Threats against advertisers for the State Press. That you keep on advertising that paper,
that's
I'm taking
exactly.
all my business away from you.
Yeah, that was a big reason that advertisements pulled out of State Press.
We heard excerpts from a forum about Daisy Bates and civil rights in Arkansas that was held last week on the University of Arkansas campus and hosted by the U of A's libraries and the library's Special Collections Department. The panel included Janice Kearney, the author of the book Daisy, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, Gerald Jordan, a professor of journalism at the University of Arkansas, and Roy Reed, author of several books, including Phobos, The Life and Times of an American Prodigal. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Kyle Kellums.
We'll have just a bit more from that forum Sunday morning on Weekend Ozarks at Large. Gerald Jordan and Janice Kearney, both graduates of the University of Arkansas, will discuss their experiences in the late 1960s and early 1970s as African-American undergraduate students at the predominantly white U of A. That's on Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 here on KUAF.